If you have your Bible, I'm going to be reading in a moment from the 13th chapter of the Gospel of John. 13th chapter of the Gospel according to John. It is a delight to be back here at Calvary Tabernacle one more time. This is 2015, and I think the first time that I came was 1996. So we're a little shy of 20, but we're working on it. I came to Knoxville the first time to preach, though I had been here, through here a lot of times, going somewhere else, but the first meeting I did at Knoxville was in 1995 at Ball Road. And that's where I met Brother Johnson, and then my coming here developed from that meeting. I wonder if anybody remembers the first sermon I ever preached here. What was it?
Just plain vanilla.
You are correct. You are correct. Did a little sermon on ordinary people. What it means to just be plain vanilla. Well, I'm glad you remembered. I could have preached that again this morning. Nobody else would have known. John chapter 13, I'm going to read, beginning with verse number 33. Through the remainder of the chapter, I'm also going to read from Luke chapter 22, if you'd like to find that chapter. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me. As I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. That you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. And Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now. But thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, The cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Luke 22 gives a companion passage to the latter portion that I've read from John 13. Luke 22 and verse 31 and 32. The Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." I want to consider with you this morning the 37th verse of chapter 13 of John, where Simon Peter raises a question. Why cannot I follow thee now? Reduced to its simplest form, why not now? The Lord willing, every service that I will contribute to by way of preaching, I want to consider a question that someone asked the Lord. I don't know how long that series could continue, but quite a long time. People always had questions for Jesus. Of course, when people ask questions, sometimes their motivation for asking a question is up for question. I think you will find when people asked the Lord a question, he was an expert at discerning not only the language of their question, but also the motive behind it. And he was a specialist at what has come to be called the Socratic method of answering questions, in that oftentimes he answered a question with a question. But I want to consider this question of Simon Peter, and I'm going to call it this morning a learner's question. A learner's question. Now, the word disciple, as it occurs in our New Testament, carries the definition of a learner. Person who is a disciple is learning from someone else. We have an updated word. I guess it's updated, maybe be outdated by now, but oftentimes we would use the word apprentice. An apprentice is someone who is learning from another individual that has matured, learned, and has capacity to do and to teach. And there were many people who claimed to be disciples. And there were a few who actually were disciples of our Lord. I'd say the larger group of Christ's followers would classify as disciples. But now, of that group, there was a particular group chosen, set apart in a more official capacity, and we know them as apostles. And then there was even a smaller group than the group of the apostles. There was an inner circle within the group of the 12. And they were Peter, James, and John. And our man today is a part of that inner circle. Now, John's gospel is the unique gospel. The other three gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, are classified, and properly so, as synoptic. The word synoptic comes from the word same. And they do record a lot of the same situations. Lots of the same sermons and a lot of the same sayings and a lot of the same schedule. And you can just keep going on. Matthew, Mark, and Luke have many parallel passages. When you come to John's gospel, it is unique. It stands apart from the other three. Not that it is in disagreement. Oh no, it is complementary, not contrast. But it stands alone because of the fact that John's mission in writing is to present Christ as God. And there's nobody like God. So the other gospels are not like John's gospel. That doesn't mean that there aren't some things here that are also there. But that is not the emphasis. Now, John's gospel is easily divided. The first 12 chapters are public. Public. The Lord's preaching messages, he's performing miracles, he is showing forth his glory. But then in chapter 13, a lot changes in John's gospel because you enter a private section. Private section. Nobody here but the Lord and the 12. Private meeting. Now that's a good thought, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
You ever been behind the door with Jesus? If you hadn't, you need to get there sometime. Get behind the door. And it's good when the Lord takes us behind the door and says some things to us that he might not say to the whole wide world. Now that doesn't sound that important, but if you'll just remember that little matter, when you go to reading these chapters, it'll help you. This is family business.
Yes, sir.
This is private tutoring. This is things pertaining particularly to the Lord and the 12.
Yes, sir.
And of course, when you finish the private section of John, you move into the section dealing with his passion. So you have three little words, and you can put the whole book of John in those three words: public, private, passion. Now we're in the private setting this morning. The Lord has made an announcement in verse number 33. And he does it very affectionately. He says, little children. Little children. Now this is where some of us can have a thrill. Doesn't matter how old we are. We haven't been in the Lord's family long enough to be classified as old folks. So we get to be called little children all over again. And that's good, isn't it? I mean, when you're a little child, life is much more simple than it is when you're an adult. So we like to think about simpler times. Of course, you get on in John's epistles and you're going to find the same thing. He says now, little children. He said, little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, but as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say you. Little children, I'm going somewhere. And you cannot go with me. Verse 36. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Now see, that's the lead question. Whither goest thou? Simon Peter always has to know. Where are you going? And Jesus answered, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Two things. There's a prohibition. There's a prophecy.
Right.
A prohibition. You cannot go now. Prophecy. You will get there. So Simon has a follow-up, and that's where we're going to camp about the next 15 minutes or so. Why not now? Have you ever felt that? Let's just take a little survey. It won't take but a minute. How many people in this audience just really, really cannot wait to get to see your doctor so you can sit in that waiting room? You like that? You got an appointment at 10. I went to my doctor here a while back, and I got in his office, and of course the nurse had weighed me and scolded me. And I got back in his office and she checked my blood pressure and scolded me again. And they had some blood work reports and scolded me again. And the doctor finally got in there and he said, hey man, you're not doing so well. I said, well, thank you. That's what I need to hear, is you're not doing so well. I said, why do you think I'm not doing well? I feel all right. He said, well, your weight's not good. Your blood pressure's not good. Your cholesterol level's not good. And I don't understand. And I said, well, can I ask you a question? I said, does stress have anything to do with any of that? He said, well, sure it has something to do with it. I said, okay. My appointment was 4 hours ago. Your nurse was critical of me because I weigh 5 pounds more than she thinks I ought to. And I come around the corner and my blood pressure is 2 notches higher than you think it ought to be. And you think my cholesterol ought to be like everybody else's in the world, knowing all the while that my fingerprint's different, which means I'm different. And now you're fussing at me and telling me I'm not doing very good. I said, that's enough to run a fella's blood pressure up. And I said, if that wasn't enough, I know before I get out the door, you're gonna rob me. You don't just enjoy that 4 hours in the office, lady. Don't you like calling companies? You have a billing problem or something other like that. You call a corporation and say, you know, I got to get this thing straightened out. And you call, if you want to talk to so-and-so, press 1. If you want to talk to somebody, press 2. You got to listen to all of that. And then when you go through all of that regimen and you find out what number it is supposed to hook you up to who you want to talk to, we're sorry, all lines are busy at the moment and you will listen to some fine music. And then, I can't say what I just thought happened. I got on one of those the other day, and when they did finally answer, I said, can I tell you something before you say anything? They said, what? I said, your music is absolutely terrible. I said, have you listened to what you're playing to people? Well, no. I said, well, take a listen. Dial this number. And take a listen to all of it. The point I'm trying to drill home is none of us enjoy waiting. None of us enjoy that. We are impetuous. We want something, and we want it now.
Yeah,
amen. Simon Peter's question is a learner's question. I'm going to give you 5 points. I better get with it. I'm going to start off with the positive. At least to his credit, it reveals his interest. It does reveal an interest. It is good when a person is interested in Jesus, are interested in following.
Amen.
Jesus. His mind seems to be focused. His heart seems to be fervent. You say, well now, preacher, time is going to prove his heart's not that fervent. Lay off of him a little bit.
Yeah.
Don't overload yourself. Let's give him credit. He's interested in following Jesus.
Amen.
Now he doesn't know where he's going, but he's interested.
Amen. Yes, sir.
In following Jesus.
That's good.
When I preach in churches nowadays, I particularly focus on young people. If they're there. Because what I'm looking for is a young man interested in Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
I'm looking for the young lady that wants to be around the older ladies and learn something about following Jesus. I'm looking for the young man that wants to be around some of the older men as they pray or whatever they're doing and learn something about following Jesus.
Amen.
Looking for somebody interested in following Jesus. So the question, whatever else we're going to say about it, it does at least reveal his interest. It also reflects his immaturity. I'll give you three thoughts right quick. Simon Peter, like the rest of us, still has some weaknesses. And one of his weaknesses is overconfidence in the flesh. I think this is what the brother was talking about in Sunday school. I'll reach back just quickly and pick up Matthew 26:40. You don't have to turn there. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And I believe that can be said about every truly born again person. Inside of you there is a willingness. But sometimes the outside manifests its weakness. He has overconfidence in himself. He has underconfidence in the Savior. Which is the natural result of the first. The Lord wasn't very easy with this group when he said to them in John 15:5, without me, ye can do nothing. And he's just told them they're fixing to be without him. Without me, you can do nothing. Simon Peter has underconfidence in the Savior. Simon Peter is unaware of the sacrifice it will cost him to do what he is expressing a desire to do. My wife and I used to sing a song together when we were just newlyweds. And a part of that song had these words: if we could see the valleys we must cross before we're home, we might dread the darkness and fear we walk alone. But he gives us sweet assurance, there's not a mountain we can't climb if we climb them carefully, just one step at a time.
Hallelujah. Amen.
I remember we used to sing that in our young married days. And now here we are, seems like worlds away from where we were then. And I have to look back and say, boy, that was the truth.
That's
If we had have known then what we know now, it would have scared us to death. But when you look at it from the positive, he does still give sweet assurance. You just got to keep taking one step at a time. The question reveals Simon's interest. The question reflects Simon's immaturity. The question rises from Simon's ignorance. He doesn't know where Jesus is going, and though he has pointed the ass, Jesus doesn't tell him. Not here he doesn't. He does tell him a little later. 21st chapter of the Gospel of John. The Lord gave Simon Peter some strong terms. I'm going to read it. John 21:18. Of course, there's a lot happens between the two events. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, walkest whither thou wouldest. When thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. Now there's a lot of things can be talked about that. People have asked me through the years, they say, reckon the Lord ever tells anybody when they're going to leave this world? Well, he didn't give him a date, but he did tell him he's going to get old. And he did tell him the way he was going to leave this world is not the way he'd wanted it to be. You see, the Lord's headed to a cross. Yeah. And Simon Peter says, why can't I go now? I'm sorry, Simon, you're not material for that. You're not to that level yet. You're not that far along. You may think you are, but you're not. You're not martyr-making material, Betty. It rises from his ignorance. But I want to go back to Luke 22. And I'll let this be my last couple of thoughts here. In the passage in Luke 22, where the Lord says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Simon's question results in further instruction. Satan has desired to have you. Well, fact is he can't have you. Yeah. Now he may hurt you and he may hinder you, but if you belong to the Lord, he can't have you.
That's right, man. That's right.
But he said, I have prayed for thee. Well, what's he praying about? That thy faith fail not. Notice, and when. Not if, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Simon Peter would live to be an old man. And he would see the day when he was crucified. Tradition says that he was crucified upside down. I'll leave that to the historians to substantiate. Don't know, but I do know this. He is a better man that day than he was on this day.
Amen.
He is a bigger man on that day than he was on this day. Why not now? Further instructions were, Simon, when thou art converted, if I can translate that loosely, when you experience some changes, you strengthen your brethren. Now, Peter wrote two epistles, general epistles. The second one has a particular flavor about the word remember. Peter said, look, I'm going to put you in remembrance. Though you already know, I'm going to remind you.
Yes.
I somehow believe every time he wrote that word, remember, in his mind, he flashed back to the night after which the prophecy of the Lord concerning his denials had proved to be true. And three times over he said, I don't know it, I don't know him. And the cock crew. And the Bible said, Peter, remember.
Yes, sir. Yes, right. Yeah.
So when he writes, he lays a lot of stress on God's people. Remember, 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 remember. Strengthen that brethren. I want to close with this. Did Simon Peter deny the Lord? He did. Judas betrayed the Lord. There are similarities, but there's a world of difference in it too. When Judas betrayed the Lord, he went out into the eternal night. Simon Peter's denial brought him to a place of repentance, to a place of restoration. Now somebody tell me, what was it that triggered Simon Peter's memory? Say it loud. The cock crow. The cock crow. I was down here at Sweetwater week before last, preaching a meeting. Right across the road from that church, there's a guy that's got these little game roosters. Now, you don't have to have an alarm clock if you go into Sweetwater today. Now, my point is this. Yes, that crowing rooster reminded Peter of what he had done.
Yes.
Which is the worst thing he probably ever did. But I'm going to tell you something else the crowing rooster reminds you. A new day.
Amen.
Is dawning.
Amen.
He'd had a bad night. He'd had several bad days. But whatever else that rooster crowing is about, there's a new day.
Amen.
And thank God, after we show our immaturity, after we reveal our ignorance, after we've gone through the ups and downs, thank God, there is a new day possible.
Amen.
And you can have it.
Yes, sir.
If you will.
Amen.
Remember, God probably knows more about you and more about where you're going and what you need than you do. So let's not ask him too much. Why not?